Do you know that today is the Feast of Faustina? Today. The church, she was mixed in on the year 2000, no? And Pope John Paul II, because today is the feast day. Although he's not mentioning in the calendar, but this not Sunday, because what day is today? Huh? October 5th. It's a feast day of Faustina. So we ask her to give us the light of the Holy Spirit to understand better. The change of life is more important. You know? God asked her to write down all things, not for her own glory, to share part of her soul. You can imitate. Go back a little bit. Well, there were two occasions when my soul was plunged into despair. Once for half an hour, and second time for three quarters of an hour. Just as I cannot describe the greatness of the graces, so too with these ordeals sent by the Lord, whatever words I might use, they are only a pale shadow of the reality. However, just as the Lord plunged me into these torments, so too he brought me out of them. Only this lasted for a few years, after which I again received this extraordinary grace of union, which has continued to this day. Still, during this second period of union, there also have been short interruptions. But for some time now, I have not experienced any interruption at all. On the contrary, I am more and more deeply steeped in God. The great light which illumines the mind gives me a knowledge of the greatness of God. But it is not as if I were getting to know the individual attributes. As before, no, it is different now. In one moment, I come to know the entire essence of God. In the past, step by step, gradually understand God, but sometimes in darkness, completely darkness. And then come back again, the light. It's horrible, eh? When you have no light, even half an hour or three quarters of an hour. It's death. It's hell. And there's no light. In that same moment, the soul drowns entirely in him and experiences a happiness as great as that of the chosen ones in heaven. When you enlighten everything. Although the chosen ones in heaven see God face to face and are completely and absolutely happy, still the light of God is not the same. Interesting, huh? If I think in heaven already everybody is the same, God, you know, it's a different knowledge. God has given me to understand this. This deeper knowledge begins here on earth, depending on the grace given. But to a great extent, it also depends on our faithfulness to that grace. If you're always living in the grace of God, start from right now, so when you haven't, accumulate this knowledge. So it's many times we thought just only when we go, when we die, and we go to heaven, and then over there, it's not. Heaven starts on earth. Start at the moment when you were born. However, the soul receiving this unprecedented grace of union with God cannot say that it sees God face to face, because even here there is a very thin veil of faith. But so very thin that the soul can say that it sees God and talks with Him. Although we say kind of, you know, understanding with Him. But still, much, much grace there. It's divinized. God allows the soul to know how much He loves it. And the soul sees the better and holier souls than itself have not received this grace. Therefore, it is filled with holy amazement, which maintains it in deep humility. And it steeps itself in its own nothingness and holy astonishment. And the more he humbles itself, the more closely God unites himself with it and descends to it. So it all depends on us also. We don't tell yourself, God doesn't come to you. But the matter is, are we open? Or are you yearning for? Otherwise, you just tell God, well, God cares, but you don't care, He couldn't help. The soul at this moment is, as it were, hidden. Its senses are inactive. In one moment, it knows God and drowns in Him. It knows the whole depth of the unfathomable One, and the deeper this knowledge, the more ardently the soul desires Him. So it's both ways. If yearning for, open, then you have more and more enter into heaven. Great is the mutual exchange between the soul and God. He opens, but also you have to open. And gradually. So you need to have kind of openness and deep humility. When a soul leaves its concealment, the senses get a taste of what the soul has delighted in. Although this also is a great grace from God, it's not a purely spiritual one. For in the first moment, the senses do not take part. Every grace gives the soul power and strength to act, and courage to suffer, by hook or by crook. Open. The grace is there. Not always the eye can see many things, sometimes complete darkness, but still you have to believe. The soul knows very well what God is asking of it, and it carries out His holy will despite adversities. Yet the soul cannot proceed on its own in these matters. It must follow the advice of an enlightened confessor, for otherwise it could go astray or gain no profit. So you need someone to guide you to among the path of heaven. For her, she needs a confessor. Oh my Jesus, I understand well that just as illness is measured with the thermometer and a high fever tells us of the seriousness of the illness, so also in a spiritual life, suffering is a thermometer which measures the love of God in a soul. My goal is God, and my happiness is in accomplishing His will. And nothing in the world can disturb this happiness for me. No power, no force of any kind. The Lord visited myself today and said to me, "My daughter, I will not leave you in this community for much longer. I'm telling you this so that you will be more diligent in taking advantage of the graces which I grant you." November 27, 1936, today I was in heaven, in spirit, and I saw its inconceivable beauties and the happiness that awaits us after death. I saw how all creatures give ceaseless praise and glory to God I saw how great is happiness in God, which spreads to all creatures, making them happy. And then all the glory and praise which springs from this happiness return to its source. And they enter into depths of God, contemplating inner life of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, whom they will never comprehend or fathom. The source of happiness is unchanging in its essence, but it is always new, gushing forth happiness for all creatures. Now understand St. Paul, who says, "Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for those who love Him." And God has given me to understand that there is but one thing that is of infinite value in His eye, and that is love of God. Love, love, and once again, love. And nothing can compare with a single act of pure love of God. Oh, with what inconceivable favors God gives a soul that loves Him sincerely. Oh, how happy is a soul who already here on earth enjoys His special favors. And of such are the little and humble souls. Humility help us to open ourselves. The sight of this great majesty of God, which I came to understand more profoundly and which is worshipped by the heavenly spirit according to the degree of grace and the hierarchies into which they are divided, did not cause my soul to be stricken with terror or fear. No, not at all. My soul was filled with peace and love. And the more I come to know the greatness of God, the more joyful I become that He is as He is, and rejoice immensely in His greatness, and delighted that I am so little, because since I am little, He carries me in His arms and holds me close to His heart. Oh my God, how I pity those people who do not believe in eternal life. How I pray for them that a ray of mercy would envelop them too, and that God would clasp them to His fatherly bosom. O love, O Queen, love knows no fear. It passes through all the choirs of angels that stand on guard before His throne. It will fear no one. It reaches God and is immersed in Him as in His sole treasure. The cherubim who guards paradise with flaming sword has no power over it. O pure love of God, how great and unequaled you are. Oh, if souls only knew your power. I'm very weak today. I can't even make my meditation in the chapel, but must lie down. Oh my Jesus, I love you. And I want to worship you with my very weakness, submitting myself entirely to your holy will. I must be on my guard, especially today, because I am becoming oversensitive to everything. When you're weak, everything, you know, double force against us. Things I would not pay any attention to when I'm healthy bother me today. In the past, when I'm strong, nothing. Even His words, His situation, it's normal. But when you're weak, just little words from people, little reaction from people hurts you. Things I will not pay any attention to when I'm healthy bother me today. Oh my Jesus, my shield and my strength, grant me the grace that I may emerge victorious from these combats. O my Jesus, transform me into yourself by the power of your love, that I may be a worthy tool in proclaiming your mercy. I thank God for these illness and these physical discomforts, because I have time to converse with the Lord Jesus, even lying on bed, more free time. She doesn't have to go to the kitchen or go to the door. It is my delight to spend long time at the feet of the hidden God, and hours pass like a minute as I lose track of time. I feel that a fire is burning within me, and I understand no other life but that of sacrifice, which flows from pure love. On earth, we have to suffer, but that's also the joy, the peace, because the pure love, purity of love, it helps us to overcome all these turmoils. November 29th, 1936, the Mother of God has taught me how to prepare for the Feast of Christmas. I saw her today without the infant Jesus. She said to me, "My daughter, strive after silence and humility, so that Jesus, who dwells in your heart continuously, may be able to rest. Adore him in your heart. Do not go out from the inmost being. My daughter, I shall obtain for you the grace of an interior life which will be much that, which will be such that without ever living that interior life, you will be able to carry out all your external duties with even greater care. Dwell with him continuously in your own heart. He will be your strength. Communicate with creatures only insofar as is necessary and is required by your duties. You are a dwelling place pleasing to the living God. In you, he dwells continuously with love and delight. And the living presence of God, which you experience in a more vivid and distinct way, will confirm you, my daughter, in the things I have told you. Try to act in this way until Christmas Day, and then he himself will make known to you in what way you will be communing and uniting yourself with him." So Mother Mary is also give a helping hand. November 30th, 1936, during Vespers, today, an unusual pain pierced my soul. I see that in every respect, this work is beyond my strength to promote the divine mercy. I am a little child before the immensity of the task, and it is only at the Lord's clear command that I am set about to carry it out. On the other hand, even these great graces are a burden for me, and I am barely able to carry them. I see my superiors' disbelief and doubts of all kinds, and for this reason, their apprehensive behavior towards me. My Jesus, I see that even such great graces can be a source of suffering, and yet it is so. Not only may they be a cause of suffering, but they also must be such as a sign of God's action. I understand well that if God himself did not strengthen the soul in these various ordeals, the soul would not be able to master the situation. Thus God himself is its shield. So terrible, eh? When you're disbelieved by people, especially by your superior, to trust how much you can suffer. So she always wants to go away. As I continued Vespers, meditating on this mixture of suffering and grace, I heard the voice of Our Lady. "No, my daughter, that although I was raised to the dignity of Mother of God, seven sorts of pain pierced my soul. Don't do anything to defend yourself. Bear everything with humility. God Himself will defend you. So, our Heavenly Mother, no excuse for her. She had to suffer. December 1st, 1936, one-day retreat. Today, during the morning meditation, the Lord gave me to see and understand clearly that His demands are unchangeable. I see clearly that no one can release me from the duty of doing the known will of God. A great lack of health and physical strength is not a sufficient reason and does not release me from this work that the Lord Himself is carrying out through me. No excuse. She wants to excuse herself because she's so sick and always lying on bed. No way out. Come on. But go ahead. Terrible, huh? I'm to be just a tool in His hands. And so, O Lord, here I am to carry out Your will. Command me according to Your eternal plans and desires. Only gives me the grace that I may always be faithful to You. We too, we are so weak, we cannot do much better. But only with His grace that we can do something. With humility. And I was conversing with the hidden God. He gave me to see and understand that I should not be reflecting so much in building up fear of the difficulties which I might encounter. Word of God. Know that I am with you. I bring about the difficulties and I overcome them. In one instant, I can change a hostile disposition to one which is favorable to this cause. God is allowing. Just 1 second. Things might change. So I think the situations in Hong Kong, so much turmoil, so much one and ask again one another. The same idea. I can change the heart just one instant. But allowing happen. You have to go through suffering. You have to believe in the love of God. Even suffering, you have to believe. So, years ago, you experienced in Manila, all the sisters come out, to pray the rosary, to pray for the country. And today, Hong Kong, in a certain sense, not exactly, but the Lord explains many things to me in today's dialogue, although I'm not putting everything in writing. So sorry, we can't have everything that God gave us, so we don't know much. But one thing is very certain. You have no excuse. If it's God's will, go ahead. Just believe Him. So, and also Heavenly Mother is giving her the strength. Come on. I too. Even I'm the Mother of God. I have 7 swords. So imagine. So she has only 1 sword. But our Heavenly Mother has got 7 swords. So much, we, at times we believe, we might say, oh, how lucky you, Sister Faustina, you have all so much grace. Maybe Sister Faustina here is telling you, come on, my dear daughter, I got more than you suffer. But trust and believe, she is our sister, and today her feast day. Ask her presence and be with us. Give her soul, so purity, just only for the love of God and nothing else. Let us ask her special grace.